It's currently estimated that it takes about 50 terawatt hours of electricity to run the world's AI data centers, with estimates that this is going to go up to even closer, with estimates that this is going to go up to 400 terawatt hours by 2030. As well as the cost of running these data centers, we have the cost of getting data to the data centers. It is also often said that it takes about 0.03 kilowatt hours of electricity to transfer just 1 gigabyte of data, and if you're transferring, you have a cost in time as well, and you're looking at 10 to hundreds of milliseconds round trip time. For many applications, these trade-offs are just not acceptable, and a great deal of what we are talking about today in the AI Dev Room is how you own your own AI and how you can do things locally yourselves. While there's a lot of very good tooling and infrastructure to do things locally and to do things yourselves, for some particular use cases, the infrastructure is sort of nascent and underdeveloped. And one particular use case that is of interest to us is the microcontroller class of processors, where if you want to run things on a sort of microcontroller which doesn't necessarily have an operating system, a file system, it is possible at the moment, but it is certainly difficult, most especially if you're trying with your personal project or with your business to do something interesting and novel. So as we've been introduced, I'm Dr. William Jones, and I'm with my colleagues Shane Slattery and Pietro Ferreira. And our goal today, we're from Empikosen, by the way, and our goal today is to show you that while the tooling for this microcontroller class of processors is nascent and underdeveloped, it is very possible to bring up any AI project that you're doing, be it personal or business, on with a good AI modeling framework using only free and open source tooling. In our case, we will be talking through a project we have done with a novel RISC-V processor with a custom accelerator bringing up the ExecuTorch framework. And Pietro is going to start our talk about that.
Okay, so can you guys hear me well? Okay, so what are PyTorch and ExecuTorch? So at a high level, AI inference follows a predictable path. As most people might already know, a neural network is represented as a graph. So here we have a graph evaluator, which traverses the graph performing tensor assignment and operation evaluation, which means allocating memory and doing the maths. And then the dispatcher sends this task to the best hardware, the CPU or a specialized accelerator. Crucially, before ExecuTorch runs the program, we can apply graph-level transformations to simplify or fuse the graph, making the model leaner before it even reaches the chip. So why do we need a new tool? So standard PyTorch is massive. It's a Python-based framework built for both training and inference, which means that it's too heavy for embedded systems. ExecuTorch, however, it's its lightweight sibling, handling inference only. And our goal is to take a model trained in the flexible PyTorch environment and harden it to run on tiny resource-constrained devices. ExecuTorch follows a build and then customize approach. So the build phase is handled by the ahead-of-time compiler in your desktop. It does all the heavy lifting, simplifying the logic, and stripping away Python so the chip doesn't have to. And then we have the customize phase, which is what lives in the hardware. And to bridge the gap between the two, we use a backend delegate, which during the AOT phase, the ahead of time phase, we tell ExecuTorch, don't run this maths on the CPU, package them for my specialized accelerator, allowing us to plug the hardware's unique brain into the ExecTorch body. So the build pipeline. So the journey from research production follows a linear path. So we have the PyTorch model, which is the starting point, is the full full of Python overhead. Then we have the AOT export, which strips all the Python and serializes the logic into a PTE file. The PTE file is the universal language for ExecTorch. So it contains the graph, the weights, and the instructions. And then we have the runtime, which is the lightweight engine on the device that reads the PTE file, allocates the memory, and executes. And the result of all of this is fast inference in devices that don't even have an operating system. We have some constraints. We applied all of this to a RISC-V-based platform in a bare metal environment, which means that, yeah, the constraints are very absolute. So memory is a luxury. We work with megabytes, not gigabytes. And by using the AOT phase to pre-calculate memory offsets, we save the chip from having to figure out at runtime. We have few cores, few accelerators. And most importantly, we don't have an OS, so there's no Linux, no file system, and no dynamic linker. So yeah, the ExecTorch runtime is statically linked directly into a binary. And because it's modular and dependency-free, we can run the PTE model directly on the metal. Yeah, turning a specialized chip into a dedicated AI engine, which gave us a lot of success with minor changes. When it comes to customizing the performance, we have two main methods. We have drop-in replacement. So if you have a hand-tuned kernel for a standard operation, for example, a convolution, you can simply swap the default version for the optimized one at build time. And we also have more advanced optimizations. For example, graph-level optimizations that can fuse layers together. And by the end of this pipeline, we move from a generic model to a highly tuned system where software and hardware act as a single cohesive unit. And now I'm going to pass on to my colleague Shane, who will go into more detail about the optimizations we have worked on.
Thanks, Pietra. We've been working on, as Pietra said, a RISC-V processor with a custom NPU. And we've employed a number of optimization strategies in order to get the model working as fast as possible. So the baseline of ExecuTorch will essentially, it has the operators all built in from PyTorch. So anything you bring down from PyTorch to ExecuTorch, it has an implementation from a lot of the main operators. But obviously, you want to optimize these. So the baseline here is where a single core CPU will it'll take the tensors and work on them. So the first optimization strategy we employed was tiling. So tiling allows for breaking up the problem and essentially making it so that you can do things concurrently. And this has been pretty instrumental in terms of getting the operators to work as fast as possible. The next optimization strategy we worked on is multi-threading. And this, again, then allows you to take the tiles you've just done and split this across multiple cores on your CPU or on your cluster to allow for, working as fast as possible with the resources you have. Now, a lot of the tensors in PyTorch and ExecuTorch are all Flow 32, which are 32 bits. And these are expensive operators to work with, especially on an embedded platform. So the other optimization strategy we have worked on is quantization. And this process is essentially where you take the 32-bit floats and transform them down into 8-bit integers for more optimal and faster performance. So the first optimization is in regards to memory. This is where we have been using the multiple cores specifically L1 and L2 memory. So through the use of a DMA, we can break the data down into tiles and bring these into L1 memory for faster performance and to work on things quicker. So this then allows us to, the tensors generally tend to live in L2 memory because this is where you have the most memory, as your L1 tends to be pretty small. And with the use of the DMA, you're allowed to then break these into the tiles and use the tiling algorithms that we have been working on. So for the likes of an image convolution, this lets you prefetch data to break this down into subtiles. So as you can see, this is a pretty straightforward algorithm where as you are computing on tile n, you're able to then use a different core to load tile n plus 1. So in that sense, you are essentially double buffering. And with the use of the DMA, this lets you quickly swap between memory as needed. So as you're computing tile n, you wait for your results. You can store your results into the output tensors, and then you can compute on your next buffer straight away. And this essentially loops around, and you can load the next tile as you're waiting for the computation of the previous one. The next optimization that we employed is quantization. And as I previously mentioned, this allows you to take the 32-bit weights and biases and other tensors that you may have and break them down into 8-bit integers. This is a pretty core optimization that is very necessary for these embedded platforms, because essentially the working with 8-bit integers is just tends to be much faster than using floats. So you can calculate the scaling parameters needed and a offset, which it will let you take the 32-bit floats and roughly map them to an 8-bit integer. And this then can be used post-training to put into your operator and get out results much faster. So based on these optimizations, this is the benefits we've seen so far. This is ongoing progress, so there's other optimizations that you can make, but with the current optimizations I've already outlined, as you can see, there's a 3.5-ish performance benefit with a convolution through the use of tiling and acceleration. And with softmax, there is a at least a 2x benefit, but we've seen higher benefits with bigger tensor sizes, where the green is the baseline, which is the operators that ExecuTorch implements, and the blue is our versions of the operators. So we'd like to thank the team at Mosaic SoC who supported our work with this processor. And yeah, so this has been, this allows us to take those big PyTorch models that are really energy not efficient and make them energy efficient on small embedded devices. Thank you. Does anyone? I think we have 5 minutes for questions.
Yes, yes.
If anyone.
We have time for questions, so.
Now? So with great quantization comes great loss of accuracy, so I wonder just what can you run at the edge? We, quantizing at 8 bits, we had similar issues not being able to run sound-related models, so I wonder what are your numbers on this case?
We're still developing this fairly early on. Our numbers look good, but we can't conclusively say that we've solved the problems that everybody else is struggling with yet. Sorry, I don't have anything more concrete than that. Something that just while you find the next question, if there is one, I want to know is. While we're doing this, this convolution graph here where we're comparing data, this is quantized convolution versus quantized convolution. So if we were doing quantized versus unquantized, it would be expected that we see a sort of fourfold increase at best. Because we're comparing quantized versus quantized, it's very, very nice that we're seeing this improvement.
So I'm wondering, oh gosh. So, have you looked at scaling this up to larger RISC-V systems and chips?
We've explored. We wouldn't use the ExecuTorch framework like this for larger RISC-V systems because it's specifically aimed for doing things at the microcontroller class processors. But we have before looked separately at doing things at a much larger scale, and we. We would use a similar approach. We would use normal PyTorch to do it, I suppose, is the where we'd got to with that. I think the system we looked at when we were looking at doing this at a larger scale had something like 1,000 cores or more. So, yeah.
Any more questions?
That's loud. I know there's a problem for the whole using all operations in TensorFlow, but TensorFlow lights up all operations in PyTorch.
So the question was when you're using TF Lite. So the question is with TensorFlow, you can convert all the operators into TensorFlow Lite when you're using TensorFlow Lite, and is this the same with PyTorch to ExecuTorch? For the most part, yes. It's very capable of as much operators as you need, really. There are limitations, specifically with operators that you'd use during training rather than inference, but I believe TFLite tends to have those exact same issues. And it's still early days with ExecuTorch. I believe it's only a few years old. So it's as the PyTorch develops and as ExecuTorch is developing, you're getting more and more optimizations, more and more operators, and yeah.
Are you going to say something as well?
Yeah.
Something I'd say on that as well is that the way ExecuTorch does support for this is it maps down the very, very large set of all PyTorch operators down into a sort of smaller core set. And it's, as Shane said, it's still early stages. It's pretty good at reducing things, mapping things from this big set of operators down to the small set. And in theory, everything should be supported. Our experience is it's a little rough around the edges because it's still being actively developed.